Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Hour 3 on a Wednesday afternoon here on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful NBA Wednesday as the NBA season is officially underway. Two games last night, the rest of the league catching up tonight and tomorrow night. And with that, it is now time for us to take on our picks for the NBA season of what's we will absolutely 100% get right.
Basketball, give me the ball.
I knew you were going to do this one.
Dunk it! Oh, sorry, wrong one.
Perfect.
I enjoy that one. It's too much fun.
No, it is good. We will make our Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, Finals picks, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year. Love to see it. Dusty, you ready?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to turn them on there for a second.
As ready as I will ever be.
There we go.
I will be ready.
All right, our Eastern Conference Finals picks. Which way are you going?
I think this year, too, this is the year. It's a do-or-die year for the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, they return to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they played the defending champion, Boston Celtics. Bum, bum, bum.
I hate that we're doing this, but we're doing this. I almost went with the Indiana Pacers, but I am going to go with Boston and Milwaukee.
Samesies.
Are we all really? The same all the way across? Really?
Yeah. Now I feel even worse about this.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be the lone guy going with Milwaukee here. I thought others might go.
Chris Middleton injury to start this,
what freaks me out. That's what freaks me out. I think if there's going to be a team, there's one of two teams that are going to sneak up. Indiana, who won't be as sneaky this year, or Cleveland. And that may be foreshadowing our next pick. I went chalky in my Western Conference Finals. I went Mavs returning against the Thunder. I think the Timberwolves trade is going to be something that they're going to regret with Cat and Julius Randle. Dante DiVincenzo may help them out, but I just see them taking a step back. Thunder add Alex Caruso. They add Isaiah Hartenstein. It's hard for me to pick against that Thunder's team, but I'm going to go Mavs and Thunder. Which way are you going, Dusty?
I have the same one.
We going chalky? Oh, no.
But this is what bothers me about this pick right here is that I have legitimate concerns about the other top dogs in the Western Conference,
I
right?
don't trust Denver.
That trade for Minnesota, like you mentioned, the Denver Nuggets – I do not trust. They did not want to give Jamal Murray a massive deal. They ended up giving him a deal. They get pay Aaron Gordon.
Mm-hmm. They lose KCP. They're
KCP
playing
was the like he was the not the heart. He was like the swizzle stick that stirred that drink around, right?
Those little cocktail straws.
Yeah, he did a really damn good job of being their glue. I really love Oklahoma City, though. I do. So outside, if I'm not going to take Minnesota, I'm not going to take Denver. Dallas is there, and then what are the other ones we're looking at?
Memphis.
Phoenix,
you have questions
Sacramento.
About because of their health and the whether or not John Morant's going to be crazy. They say they're going to take more threes this year, but I don't know if they should because they can't shoot them.
Yeah, and then Phoenix, Sacramento. Are those the other teams that you're thinking?
Warriors.
I'm not picking the Lakers, and I never will.
Like, here's the thing. The West is really good, but it's, like, full of, like, 47-win teams.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, Dallas and OKC, I think, are a clear cut above everybody else.
I've got the Thunder, and then I've got the old Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yes. So, a little spicy with some Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and apparently Yusuf Nurkic is trying to take things seriously
Bradley
again and shedding some weight.
Beal?
I mean, no, he looks
Bradley
great.
Bradley Beal?
He looks great.
So, yeah.
Like, that's a real thing.
Thunder and Suns for me.
So.
All right. Well, all right. Okay.
Finals pick, I'm going Mavs Celtics. I'm going for the rematch. Here's the thing. I'm going to take the Mavs.
Oh, I'm going Western Conference, too. I got the Thunder beating the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
I think they're going to be ahead of schedule.
Which is insane considering what we saw from the Celtics last night, but we're both going with the West here.
I think I'm going with a repeat myself with the Celtics over. We're going to get a little picante here in the desert, the Phoenix Suns.
Ooh.
Oh.
It's just, it's as much as we all want to go, oh, that's the best team in basketball, it's so hard to repeat.
Yeah.
It's so bleeping
and
hard
an
82 to repeat.
Game season.
I mean, they're already dealing with injuries. Kristaps isn't going to be back until probably Christmas. Yeah. So it's like,
Holy moly.
On the MVP line, I am going to take Luka Doncic. I think Luka's going to be that dude this year. He was last year. You can make the argument that down the stretch, there was no team better than them after they made those trades, and he was the engine of that. Luka Doncic is the third highest scorer in NBA history on a, for a career basis. It's Jordan Wilt and him. He's really good.
I guess that's some decent company.
He's really good. This is him getting into his prime. This is a guy's going into year seven. It's going to be nuts, and I think this is going to be a year where the full Luka appreciation after his finals run happens.
I'm going my MVP. Oh, Canada.
Still international.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
I can see it. If they get the number one overall seed and they have the best record in the NBA, definitely on the table.
Yep. I think SGA is going to get his shine. Last year, it felt like he had the credentials to do it, but it was just like, he's a year away. He's still a young buck. I think SGA gets his shine as the MVP, and he becomes the second Canadian to win the MVP to Steve Nash.
I, too, am keeping it with an international flavor. At first, Luka was the first one that went through my head, but I talked myself into SGA.
All right.
Again, it's insane. Even with Jokic and Embiid and Giannis out there who have all won MVPs, we're still going down the international train.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's
And I just think SGA, I think he'll make that leap this year, which then carries the Thunder into the conference finals.
I think it's very fair. Rookie of the Year. I'm going international with this one as well. I'm going to go with Memphis Grizzlies. I'm going to go with Zach Edey. Everybody's going to freak out. And the Blazers should have taken him.
No.
No, they shouldn't have. I think what the Blazers have done when they've drafted Shaedon Sharpe, Scoot Henderson, Donovan Clingan, whether you agree with it or not, they have taken the biggest possible swing with the highest possible outcome. It means there might also be some variance. I mean, a guy might bottom out. A guy might bust. A guy may fail. But I think Donovan, you know what Zach Edey is going to be. And I think he's going to be a very effective NBA player. He might even end up being more effective than I thought. And he might be like 70% of Yao Ming because his post footwork, his ability to finish around the rim is so good and his rebounding is so good. He's also going to be a guy who's going to get real minutes where basically everybody else in this class is going to be on bad teams and not get minutes. So give me Edey.
All right. Edey works. I have no earthly idea. So I went Zachary Richey.
It's not a bad one. He's going to get minutes.
He's going to get minutes. He's going to play. I'm going to go Zachary Richey. Final answer.
I'm going with a Great White Hype. He's going to jump out of your TV screen at you and probably jump out of the building. Reed Sheppard.
Oh!
He's a good pick, but he's got four guards in front of him, including Jalen Green, who just got paid. If I was going to go anywhere but Edey, that's where I'd go.
Yeah. I did think Dalton Connect for a second, but I was like,
The Laker bumps are not enough because he's not going to get up. Like, again, last night,
Bronny's going to steal his votes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, God. Plus 25,000.
Hey, I got Russ to snort on that.
You did. You got me to snort.
Coach of the Year. I'm going Dark Horse here, and that's how Coach of the Year usually works, is a coach that doesn't necessarily come out of nowhere, but a team succeeds higher than expectations. I'm going with Kenny Atkinson and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, all right.
I like J.B. Bickerstaff. There were some issues between J.B. and the backcourt. Kenny Atkinson is a coach who gets – I think a lot out of everyone. That is kind of his specialization, is he runs offensives that cater to everyone and doesn't maximize one, but kind of gets 90% out of most. And I think that's going to be something that gets the Cavs closer to 50 wins this year, and a Coach of the Year award for Kenny Atkinson.
See, I'm going on a guy on a team that's going to make a big jump, make a massive step forward, and also a guy who's kind of been through it, just like Kenny Atkinson, who got fired. I'm going Ime Udoka from the Houston Rockets.
If they make the trade that they might make, which is they're loading up for Bear to make a massive deal, I think you could see Ime skyrocket up that list.
Yep.
I'm going to go with another team that I think is going to get ready to turn a corner this year that I've already picked for my Western Conference Finals, Mark Daigneault.
I think that's right. a really safe back-to-back. Yeah.
A little back-to-back coach of the year.
It doesn't happen all that often, but if they go out and they win, they get the number one all seed. Let's say they win 60 games.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. The one thing I will caution, for all of the Thunder hype, and I do believe they're going to be an even better team, they had the best injury luck in the NBA last year by a substantial margin. None of their top guys missed real time. So that's always the hesitation. And then Defensive Player of the Year, look, I'm just going to take the easiest one off the board.
One, two, three.
Wemby.
Victor Wembanyama.
Yep.
It just he's the freak.
No,
he
reigning
was the best defensive player last year.
Yeah. No reigning rook or defensive player of the year has ever, or should be no player that wasn't a reigning defensive player of the year has ever had odds like Victor Wembanyama has right now.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he will lead the league in blocks. He will lead the league in stocks. He will probably be top 3 and top 4 in rebounds. Mm-hmm. On the defensive glass.
Yeah.
He will also lead the league in hell nods. For those that are unaware of what a hell nod is, it is when an NBA pro drives to the rim and sees Wemby out of the corner of his eye and goes, hell no, and turns the hell around.
What the hell is going on?
That is like,
how do you do that?
That, I heard it from the Blazers locker room from multiple players of, yeah, no, I didn't know what to do. The chase down block that Wemby had on Ant, he won't kill me for saying this. He told me, I had him beat at half court. I didn't think there was a chance in hell he could catch up to me. Wemby closed the gap in 3 steps and sent Ant's layup off the glass. Ant said it was the most surprising thing that's ever happened to him in the NBA. Like, that's just how different he is. And think about how Anthony Simons is with the ball when he's going to the rim. It ain't slow.
No.
Yeah.
So, again, he's just different. And I don't think there's a chance anybody else can win Defensive Player of the Year. You talk about Rudy Gobert. He's won it 4 times. He's not going to win it back-to-back because of Luka destroying him in the playoffs, him getting benched in limp. Like, the narrative is already forming against Rudy Gobert. Bam, as good as he is, I don't think he gets the level of recognition because the stats don't come along with it. And Wemby's going to be – he's going to have the narrative and the numbers.
Pay that man his money.
I got one really quick one here from the Vancouver Ford text line. You guys need to predict the bottom 5 records. I'll do that for you really quick.
That's simple.
Brooklyn is the worst. Washington. Yep. Then I will go Portland. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go, I don't think Vegas agrees with this, but I'll go Chicago and then Toronto with the 5th worst record.
Do we have a Charlotte Hornets in there?
I'm going to swap out, who did you put in there in the West?
The Blazers.
And the rest were East?
Yeah. I got Nets, Wizards, Blazers, Bulls, Raptors.
Oh, you put Bulls. In the Bulls spot, I'm going to put the Jazz, and then I will have the Raptors 5th. Everything else is the same, but I'm going to have the Jazz in there.
Okay.
All right. It's pretty easy. As far as predicting the draft order, can't do that because that's what the lottery does.
Yep.
Yeah, you get literal ping pong balls changing things around.
I'll predict the lottery.
And the Blazers will get screwed again anyway. So
no, you can mark this down. I'll predict it right now. Blazers win the lottery.
There you go.
You heard it here first. 2:20 p.m. on October 23rd, 2024.
I like it. All right, come in.
That
next.
Surely won't backfire on me.
Not at all.
Blame you. You did this to us. Come up next, the NBA is investigating the Philadelphia 76ers for player participation, and the season hasn't already started yet. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. The Philadelphia 76ers haven't even played a game yet, and the NBA is investigating them for their player participation violation or potential player participation violation. And I have reached out to a couple league contacts to ask if this is something that the league is preemptively doing here, or if this is a situation perhaps with maybe some execs in front offices and owners who are like, you know what, we're sick and tired of Philadelphia and how they're doing this and flaunting the rules a little bit and putting the pressure. And a response that I got was, of course. So while the league is probably looking at this, the 76ers have now listed Joel Embiid out with a knee sprain.
Okay.
He has not suffered any injury.
Well, we can all assume that he's always hurt.
But if you're going to do this, you have to be smarter about it. Like, this is the thing I don't get about Philadelphia, or any team in general that does
this. Do the old, lower back strain. back spasms.
Something. What was the one the Blazers had in the knee? It wasn't tendonitis. It was...
Tendinopathy?
Tendinopathy. Ding, 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 ding. Something so vague, you're like, good luck. Mm-hmm. Which is how you do this. Come on now. But Philadelphia wants to both treat this like nuclear secrets and act like complete a-holes at the same time. Okay. You can't do that. If you're gonna treat it like nuclear secrets, you need to shut up and be consistent. And that's what they've done. They just keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back. And everybody's just looking at this going, no, 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 we're not going to do this.
So, yeah, my favorite was when the Blazers had that string of guys sitting out games because of the gastrointestinal virus.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites. Like, oh, he's out with the mud butt.
Got the mud butt.
Prove that he's not. I dare you.
And there was a bug that did go through the locker room, so it's pretty easy to do that, especially that time of year.
Yeah, but usually they just say illness.
Yeah.
Like, they just let us all know. Like, but they let us know,
by the way, these guys, they're not even going to be on the bench. Because
these are the porcelain gods that are speaking to them.
We're not keeping them in the building. Like, these guys can go ahead and stay home. But, I mean, the Joel Embiid stuff is, like, it's already, this is going to sound crazy, I'm on the side of the 76ers in this vein. Don't play him on back-to-backs. Make it very evident to your fan base of when he is and isn't going to play. Okay with monitoring it because his body is so destroyed.
Well, haven't they already basically done everything but come out and say we're not going to play Embiid or Paul George on back-to-backs?
No, they said it.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, this is the thing, is that the NBA doesn't want guys sitting for rest because of the implications of fans wanting to go and get tickets to games. If you are openly saying no, if it's the second of a back-to-back, he will not be playing, then that's the buyer beware, right?
They just have to be very explicit in that.
Yeah,
and that's
okay.
A pushback from fans and the league, and that is, I think that's entirely fair. If you like, if you're going to do flex pricing, you better build flex pricing and not drop Embiid's it's rest tonight, and you paid $80 for a ticket.
Yep.
That's BS.
Yep.
But if you're upfront about it and it's reflected in your pricing, go with God.
Well, and if they're going to do the thing where they play neither of them on back-to-backs, they need to have it be basically where one of them is on the front end and the other is on the back end.
I would agree.
Embiid and PG.
Yeah, if you're going to do that with two guys and have that as a plan, absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that one bit. But if it is a situation like, and you're saying, 2 weeks out, a month out, then you go with the, hey, by the way, he's going to sit the first game, he'll play in the second game because of matchups that are looming, right? Like, if that's going to be the case, then yeah, I think that's totally fair. If any team, not just the 76ers, comes out and says, hey, by the way, we're giving you plenty of advance notice, but he's not going to be playing in this situation.
And I think if you're operating under that auspices, that's entirely fine.
Yep.
But that's the issue here, is that the Philadelphia 76ers haven't. And now they're saying, oh, he has a knee sprain. It's like, no, he doesn't. You would have announced that earlier. Because he hasn't suffered a knee sprain because he hasn't been doing anything. So
I'm just going to go with, I assume he's always hurt. So this wasn't a surprise. I saw no red flags here. No red flags. He's always hurt.
Which is, I think, a fair assumption considering his injury history. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not one of those, oh, he's curt. Like, no, he's 7'1", he's 325 pounds, and he's had foot surgery, back surgery, and knee surgery.
Yep.
This is what happens when you're this big of a human.
One that said he's lost, 25, 30-ish pounds and looking to shed more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 350 pounds. Go look at him. Go look at him against guys last year.
He had a Shirley Temple addiction, okay?
Hey, 7-Up. They brought the Shirley Temple 7-Up.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
I believe that. Wasn't that just always called Cherry 7-Up?
No, it's different.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
All right.
This is the OG grenadine they're putting in there.
It's the good stuff.
And apropos of nothing, I don't know if you've ever seen the Tropical 7-Up, but that is also delightful.
Delightful. Delightful.
Yes.
Never had it.
Yeah, I think I have some at home. Maybe I'll bring some in.
All right.
It's quite
nice.
Stuff.
It's quite nice. But yeah, I'm with the 76ers on how they're handling it in regards to Embiid. Their messaging sucks.
Absolutely.
Is that fair?
Well, it's the 76ers.
Yeah. So if the league punches him in the face and hits him with a fine, so be it.
Well, but I guess my other question, too, is why just the 76ers? Because you know there are going to be other teams that are going to come out and do it. And maybe they just haven't been like the 76ers and come out and said LeBron James is not going to play any back-to-backs. You know what I mean? So it's like there are going to be teams with certain of their players that will do the same thing. They just haven't come out and said it. So it just seems odd to me that I don't want to use the word vendetta, but that's almost what it feels like.
So there you go.
All right.
Coming up next, Portland Trailblazers take on the Golden State Warriors. Talk about that and more here on Danny and Dusty. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
The Portland Trailblazers get underway with their season tonight at Moda Center, taking on the Golden State Warriors at 7 o'clock. They are 6-point dogs to the Klay Thompson-less Warriors.
Oh, this is going to be the first upset of the season, huh? Let's go.
Is that what you're going with?
Nope.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be opposed to it. Start it with a win, huh?
I don't think
Start it with an L.
I don't think it would be anything crazy if they did win tonight, genuinely. I don't know what to expect from this Warriors team. They're in kind of a weird spot. It's the tail ends of the Steph Draymond years. They're both clearly getting older. Their idea of, you know, running it in the two timelines era, they bombed both of their picks in Kuminga and James Wiseman as far as guys that were going to be cornerstones of the franchise going forward, where they could have had the potential of running two timelines. And instead, they've decided to not go all in. They teetered with the idea of trading for Lauri Markkanen, but they would not give up Brandon Podziemski, which... He's a nice
Pods, baby.
He's a nice role player.
Here's the thing that I think maybe the wake-up call for Blazer fans, though, in that I think a lot of people, including myself, look at this roster and they say, this starting lineup is good enough to keep you in games and to win games.
Yes, and your starting lineup as it goes tonight will be Anthony Simons, Tumani Kamara, Denny Avdia, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton.
Okay. That is good enough to be... to keep you in games.
Solid starting lineup.
Build leads. I think this is where Blazer fans may have that awakening that, oh boy, when the bench comes in, there are no shooters. Because there could be a Buddy Hield avalanche that just is heaped upon Portland when the second unit is on the floor. And that is where Portland, the creators, the scorers, the shooters off the bench... they don't exist. Because the bench right now, you're looking at Donovan Klingon, Scoot Henderson, Ryan Rupert, Chris Murray?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be your nine right now. Because you do have Shaedon Sharpe injured, which, again, he is progressing well. I believe we might get a public update this week, I think, perhaps.
All right.
If not... wink, wink, nod, nod. Things are trending in the right direction.
That's good to hear, though, for him on a personal level.
Yeah. So there's that. And then Robert Williams III, he was cleared on his return to play. He got pretty damn sick. He hasn't been around the team for damn near a week. He just came back around on Monday, I believe. And he's not going to play tonight. I would be surprised if he didn't. Well, I should say I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play until, I think, Wednesday. I think we're probably another week out just so he can get his wind because he had a hamstring injury. And if you got a hamstring injury, you got to kind of ramp up and be careful with it. You don't just go, all right, let's go. Especially now you're considering it's Robert Williams III who has dealt with injuries. Matisse Thybulle had his knee, had a procedure done on his knee. I believe it was PRP injections, which are becoming significantly more common in sports. It's like it used to be a thing like, oh, this is a big thing. Now it's just, it becomes a bit more common. But the thing about it, if you've ever had it done, it sucks. It burns. It's frustrating. And you need it, and while it works, you get a little bit of swelling and a little bit of irritation with it. So
that's no good.
Yeah. And so I think as long as it takes and it works and it does what it needs to do, I think you'll probably see Tease back probably around like mid-November. There's a chance it exists if Shaedon hits the earliest window and Matisse is right on time that Shaedon and Matisse could return. I think November 15th. I believe it's against the Hawks.
If I remember the schedule right. That's a long time.
I mean, it's 6 weeks or 4 weeks for Shaden. Or,
I know, but just November 15th seems like it's a long ways away. It really isn't that far
it's
away.
Like 3 weeks out.
November 17th, it would be a Sunday. They have a gap from the 13th to the 17th.
Yeah, so that's why I picked that game, because if you look at the timelines, you look at the amount of time they would be able to get a practice in, that you could get through practice, get reevaluated by the doctors, get 100% clear, and then whether they go or not. I think that's the earliest you could see them come back.
Huh.
So,
boy, looking at the schedule, that is a weird quirk that we talked about when it came out. But in a 5-day stretch from November 8th to November 13th, the Blazers play the Minnesota Timberwolves 3 times with one game against the Grizzlies wedged in there.
It's a weird spot. And also, again, the reason they get that little bit of a break is because they play 5 games in 7 nights to start the season. They play tonight, they play Friday, they play Sunday, they play Monday on a back-to-back, and that's here in New Orleans and against the Sacramento Kings on the road. And then they go on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, before they get 2 days off again on Monday. Yes. It is just bing, 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 bing. They get game after game after game. This is what we talk about. The first month for them is going to be and I'm not even talking about, I shouldn't say the month of October, just the first 30 days of games is going to be brutal.
Well, it's good they're young.
Right? I mean, they play 20 games, Dusty, between October 23rd and November 29th.
My goodness. That's ridiculous.
It's a lot, and I think 12 of their first 20 are on the road.
Yeah.
Excuse me, my mistake. 11 of the first 20. So, not only are there a lot of them, half of them are on the road.
Jeez,
and again, there's a 4-game and a 5-game trip.
That's a lot. That's a lot of basketball.
30-day period. So, look, it'd be nice to start the season off with a win. That way, it's like, hey, you get one out of the way, and then you just kind of. The line for the game is still 6. The over underlined for the season, I believe. Oh nope, total's up to 7.
Is it?
Oh, all right.
That just changed then.
Literally just updated. Yep. Grab my phone and it's at 7 right now. The line for the Trailblazers at 20 and a half wins in the season.
Went down to 20 and a half?
I'll take the over.
That's like a game lower than yesterday, even, isn't it?
It's gone back and forth between 22 and a half and 20 and a half. Yeah. At 20 and a half, I will take the over. At 22 and a half, I will not.
21 games, 21 wins.
21 or 22 is where I keep ending up.
Yikes.
So,
all right.
And that's just, you know.
Great season.
Victory Report text line. DraftKings has 95% of the bets on the Warriors. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So, but again, you will get to see Donovan Clingan make his official regular season debut. Danny Avdia making his debut as a Trailblazer. I think there's some stuff to look forward to.
Okay.
I do. As long as, I tried to get everybody, and you know this, Dusty, I tried to get everybody ready last year. You cannot look at wins and losses. You can't get caught up in them. Otherwise, it'll eat you alive this season.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
But. If you can take the wins and the losses in player development, that's where you land.
Okay, so to go into that texter's comment a little bit further, 95% of bets money line, 85% is straight coming up in on the Warriors on the spread. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
The Warriors -7 is getting 85% of the love.
Look, I mean, that goes another point or two higher. I might have to go the other way.
Oof.
You know, just because. Yeah. Value. Those big point spreads last year in the NBA did not do anybody any good.
No.
They were not great. All right, coming up next, the Oregon State Beavers have announced their schedule next year, and there's an interesting quirk, to say the least.
A few of them.
We'll get to that more coming up on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Coming out of nowhere, the Oregon State Beavers released their 2025 football schedule. And, Dusty, I have questions.
Do you just got a bunch of questions on it?
Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Look, it's really hard to make a schedule when you only play in a 2-team conference right now. This schedule is a doozy, to say the least. Look, there is a very real possibility they start 0-6.
Yikes, dog.
It starts with Cal, Fresno State, at Texas Tech, at Oregon, Houston, and at App State. So, I mean, you have Texas Tech is atrocious on the road. Under Danny McGuire, they're really stinking good at home. You go to Oregon, you go to Appalachian State, not a short jaunt, not an easy place to play. Houston and Fresno, you've got a puncher's chance at. But what does the roster look like coming out of this season? Where are you at? That's a really tough stretch out the gate. I mean, it truly is. Yeah. It's a very, very tough stretch to come out of the gate with those first six games. And then it catches everybody's attention that there is a home-and-home with Washington State. They have Cougs at home and then the Cougs on the road. The weird part for me is that it's within a month. They start November with hosting Washington State on November 1st, and then they wrap up November, the very last game of the season, at Washington State. It's not just playing the same team twice. It's playing them the same team twice in a month.
And it's not a conference title game.
And it's a scheduled event. Like, we may see Army-Navy twice.
Yeah.
In back-to-back weeks.
But it's a conference title game that we might perhaps see them in.
And then it will be the traditional Army-Navy game, which will be super weird.
Afterwards.
Yeah, it's just I don't like it.
Timing snafu.
Don't like it. Don't like it. But this is what happens when you have a two-team conference and you have to make your own schedule. They also have Lafayette, Wake Forest, Sam Houston State, or Sam Houston University now, and then Tulsa. Like, it's the back half is winnable, but what do you look like after that front end? The gauntlet out of the gate. That is going to be the question for how the Beavs finish up this entire season is in 2025. Does the front end kind of kill your will and then you make up some ground in the back end? Who knows where they're at? And it's an odd schedule. I like it. I like the weirdness. Let's get weird.
Yeah, you know? When was the last time an FBS school played the same school twice outside of a conference championship game?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. But this is, I don't know if I've quite seen something like this before.
I can't think of anything.
But look, that's what it's going to be. You're going to get weird for a couple of years, and this one is the weirdest of the weird. I'm here for it, though. You want to start a rivalry with Washington State and Oregon State? Let's go. This is how you do it. Play twice in the same year. Have a home and home. But the silver linings are you still get the Civil War game. You've got some really winnable games in the back end of that conference slate, and you still have enough of the Power Four conference teams that, you know, you are going to stay relevant and in their eyes, right? Cal, Tech, Oregon, Wake Forest, you get four against the big boys and then two more against Washington State. That's six really quality opponents, really quality games. Oh, Houston as well. Seven games. And look, if you're a B fan, be pumped because seven of those games are at home. Only five road games. Ten,
and if
Oregon,
you do find
App State,
a way
Tulsa, Washington State.
To win the majority of those games, you're on your way.
Yeah, you only have five road games, and two of those five you can travel to because one's in Eugene, one's in Pullman. So, I mean, if there's a bright spot, hell yeah, that is it. That is it. I mean, not really great destinations otherwise. Lubbock and Tulsa, not destination sites. I would say go to Bowie, North Carolina. Schedule that trip to Bowie, North Carolina in the beginning of October. The leaves will be starting to turn
up in the hills.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty.
All right, that does it for us. I'll be back in studio tomorrow. We got Blazers tonight at 7 o'clock against the Warriors.
Indeed.
Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye. They didn't have to cut it off.